morning.
Thank you all for joining us for this wonderful opportunity to worship as we journey together in the second week of Lent. As we look to get closer to God during this time, let us remember this is the day that the Lord has made, and let us rejoice and be glad in it. A few announcements before we get started. We'll be passing around a directory today. I want to be passing this around. There's names on it that are front and back. This is just for people to update your address, your phone number, things like that. Just make sure it's current. If it's not, just write it in the margins there and you can change it. I don't have a pen on me, but as always, we need to make sure our information for everyone is current and up to date. There's also a sign-up sheet in the back for ushers and greeters. Oh, my volume is... There we go. Got to use that bass. there's a sign-up sheet for ushers and greeters. There's also a sign-up sheet in back for Holy Week readers. It's a great opportunity to participate. Moravian Holy Week is very different in the fact that we have readings every single day. And it's a great opportunity to hear all the parables and all the stories of the life of Christ building up to his death and resurrection. Cares and prayers will meet this Tuesday from 1:30 to 2. We did not meet last week, but we will be meeting this week. Also, don't forget, Lenten lunch continues on Mondays. That is from noon to 1:15. We had a great group last time, despite all the rain, had a great deep discussion about all the different emotions we're going through this week, and it really is a meaningful time. Our Lent programming continues from 6 to 7:30 as we look at faith and feelings. Make sure you double check what days you are signed up for the soup and the salad. We had a great opportunity to talk about being upset sadness last week. Fear. There we go. I've already put it outside of my mind. Lenten brain has already begun. And this week we're going to look at disappointment. And it's really good to look at some of the tougher emotions to handle with, because those are the emotions that we struggle with the most. We still have coupon booklets for sale. Emily will have those. She's in the back for $5. That supports our mission team to Texas. It is savings as well, so not only do you get to save a few bucks, but you get to help our mission team. And then we will have $10 tickets for sale for a barbecue dinner at Sharon Moravian on Saturday, March 10th. There will be silent auctions and raffles involved. And please note, on that day, we originally had scheduled our quarter auction. That is being postponed. We did not want to conflict with the barbecue dinner. So we want an opportunity for all of us to support this mission team on their journey to Texas. And please don't forget, tomorrow at Kent State, they're hosting the Mental Health Awareness Night. Doors open at 6:30, and the featured speaker will begin at 7. They're from the Perry School District, the head counselor there. I think this really is a timely opportunity to talk about the many needs of our communities and our nation. We know there's a lot of teenagers going through a hard time, and we need to make sure that we have opportunities to reach out to them during these times of trouble. At this time, I invite anybody else if they have any other announcements. Okay. Get those orders in. Awesome. Any other announcements? All right. Let us stand and join together as we will sing the Moravian birthday hymn. Before we do that, let me share with you the birthday. You can rise. We can do two things at once. I'll share with you the birthdays and anniversaries. On the 21st, we celebrated Joe and Martha Dalcoma. On the 25th, we celebrated Karen Eichel Smith and Jeremy Smith. And for our February birthdays, February 2nd is not Ron Martin, that's Paige Martin, although I thought his princess party was very nice, very classy, Ron. On the 8th, we celebrated Ron Regula's birthday. On the 18th, Jill Schaefer. On the 20th, Alex Nisley. On the 21st, Paula Drum. On the 25th, Jenny Shoup today. And then tomorrow, we celebrate Delene Swinderman. Let us join together in the Moravian birthday hymn, and please don't forget to join us for cake after worship as we celebrate all these wonderful events. Let us take a moment to greet one another.
Howdy, choir. Becky, Alicia, good morning. Angie, good morning. Kaylee, how's it going? Ron, how you doing? Linda? Ladies, how's it going? Kira, how you doing? Charlotte, Sarah, good morning. Steve, Nick, Carolyn, how's it going? Good morning. Good morning. Chloe, good morning. Good morning, Kitty. I think that's a cat. Is that a cat?
Snow leopard.
Oh, okay. At this time, I invite you to be seated as we join together in the watchword of the week. And our watchword for this week comes from the first book of Genesis, chapter 17, verse 7. God says, I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. Amen.
I invite you now to stand as we join together in the call to worship. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations.
He is
You may remain standing as we join together to sing praise to God. Number 537 in your Moravian Book of Worship.
in our prayers this week, we have a lot to be prayerful for. We continue to pray for Jackie Pasquinelli's continued recovery from her car accident. She continues to be progressing, but a little slower than she wants to be. We uplift Jesse Edwards, that family. The mother is very ill. She's a friend of Amy Pasquinelli. For Marie Smith, who is suffering from some health issues. For June Canfield, who is also struggling with some health issues. And for Mary Simmons, who is having cancer surgery this week. For those of you that don't know Mary, she was very involved with the school system, a librarian, right? Yes, and she is somebody a lot of our kids and our youth know in our community, and we uplift her in our prayers. We also continue to pray for the Parkland school districts in Florida. Those kids will return to school on Monday. We continue to uplift that community and just know that I think it's easy to pay attention when there's a big tragedy, but those kids have to go on living their life long after that, and it's important that we continue to lift them in prayer throughout that entire process. Also for our local schools, our teachers, and our students, if you talk to anybody involved in the school system right now, anxiety levels are extremely high. New Philadelphia Middle School, Madison and Emily experienced a lockdown on Wednesday, and there have been threats at some of our other schools, and we just continue to pray for the safety of our community and that we as children of God remember that we are all children of God and that peace should guide us in all of our actions. We uplift the Reverend Billy Graham, who passed away this past week. There's a lot of Christians who can credit being turned to faith by Reverend Graham and his work, and he was very inspiring and was somebody who seeked to reach people from all places and all times and all politics. And we continue to uplift our community that continues to deal with the flooding. There's a state of emergency for flooding in some parts of our state right now, and we just pray for the safety of our people, for the people who are called to deal with these issues, and we just pray for some God-given sunlight. How about that? And as we prepare our hearts for prayer, this being a season of Lent, a time to journey closer to God, I'll begin our prayer with some intentional silent time, a little longer than you're used to, but some time I encourage you to really just have a one-on-one conversation with your Creator. Because as we journey through this Lenten season, we need to remember that no matter where we begin or end our faith, that journey starts with Christ at the cross. And we all humbly begin there. So let us take some moment in silence to invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious God, we humbly come before you as sinners, as people who make mistakes, who screw up, who make selfish choices. Gracious God, help us to see that we need to turn to you for forgiveness of our sins, for grace, for mercy, for humility. Gracious God, we live in a hurting world, a world where there is suffering, a world where there is violence, a world where there is sickness, a world where there is death. But you, gracious God, remind us that those tragedies are not the sentence that defines lives, but they are just commas, and you are the one that punctuates all of our world with blessings, with the gift of life. Gracious God, we specifically lift up our local schools and the children in our schools and the teachers. And we ask that you give us to be the opportunity to be your hands and feet in this world. That if we see somebody who is going through a hard time, that we reach out to them when the opportunity is given to us. That if we see somebody is anxious or stressful, that we provide them with compassion and comfort. Because, gracious God, this is a team game. And the love that we need to share with this world is the ultimate team sport. And, gracious God, we pray for our community, for all the flooding that is going on. We ask that you keep us safe and you make us people who see that spring is on the horizon, that no matter how dark it gets, your light will shine through each and every one of us. And we remember specifically Jesse, Marie, June, Mary, Jackie, all people who are dealing with afflictions. God, help them realize that they are not alone in this, that they have their God, they have their community, and they have their family. And we ask you that as we go forth from this place, surround us in that light, surround us in that love, so that we can be agents of reconciliation and of faith, hope, and love everywhere we go. In your name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture today comes from Genesis chapter 17, verses 1 through 7 and 15 through 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Abram fell face down, and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarah, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations, kings of peoples who come from her."
Thank you, Jacob. Our gospel today comes from the 8th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 to 38. And in this text, Jesus predicts his death. Excuse me. He then began to teach that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. He spoke plainly about this, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But when Jesus turned and looked at his disciple, he rebuked Peter. "Get behind me, Satan," he said. "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then he called the crowd to him along with the disciples and said, "If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Or what can a man gain exchange for his soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels." This is the reading of God's holy word. And this is not something we will pay attention to in our sermon skit today, but I encourage you to keep this text in your hearts and minds, because when Jesus is talking about carrying a cross. He's talking about something very literal, something that all of his disciples did. They all laid down their life for the gospel of Christ. And so Jesus was not just being metaphorical, but he was speaking truth to the people he loved the most. And we think about that so often, the loved ones in our lives who we don't want to go through pains, who we don't want to go through hard times. But the opportunities, the growth that come out of those are usually the opportunities that build our character, that build our strength. And without those challenges, we wouldn't be the people we are today. So I ask that you carry that in your hearts and minds as we pay attention to God's holy word. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for the children's moment. If they have their toy or object they'd like to bring, come on up. Oh, we got animal theme today. Yeah. Come on up. How's Miss Aubrey doing? We got bobbleheads. Pikachu. Oh, man. What is it? It's a double-headed. All right, everybody put your toys in the middle. So we're going to talk today about disappointment and somebody who helps us with disappointment, somebody who is the light of our world, somebody who we put our candles up for Christmas. Who's that person? Tyler? Jesus. Jesus is the light of our world. And today we're going to talk about a difficult emotion for all of us to deal with. It's called disappointment. Have any of you disappointed somebody before? Yeah, your parents are watching you. Everybody get your hand way up high. I've disappointed people before. And the one hard thing about disappointment is that it can come in all times and all places. So who here has a sibling? Who's got a brother or sister? And are there times where you just don't see eye to eye with one another, where you clash, where you butt heads with each other? What was that? That's not how they're supposed to be played with, right? They're brothers, so they're supposed to love each other, right? Is that something your parents tell you guys as siblings? That's not how you're supposed to play with each other? When you bicker, when you argue, when you make mistakes like that? Because when we do that, what happens? Instead of being connected, we become disconnected, right? And we should love each other and we should be close to each other in all times and all places. Because you know what? The love that we feel from God is rare. It's special. It's as rare as a panda in the zoo. Has anybody seen a panda in the zoo? There's not a lot of pandas. If the United States wants to get a panda in their zoo, you know what they have to do? They have to phone China and they have to get a panda bear on loan. Because in the United States, panda bears are very rare. You're not going to find them in Shenmue Forest out there. There's not going to be too many pandas lying around there. Or snow. Is this a snow leopard? What is it? A snow? It's a tiger now. Okay, we got a different interpretation. And you know what the rarest of all is? A Siberian tiger. Has anybody seen a Siberian tiger before? They're so rare that you hardly ever see them anywhere. The white tiger is one of the rarest of all tigers. And that's how rare and special our love with God is, that God's love for us is even more special than a white tiger. What do we got left? And you know what? Sometimes when we're struggling with our friends and our family, you know what we need? We need our prayer beads. We need our prayer beads to guide us through those moments and remind us that we should always pray. Because our love with God is so fuzzy and so special that we have good opportunities to share God's love. So I want you all to remember that there's going to be times in your life that you're going to disappoint people, that you're going to let people down. And you know what the key is? Not letting that disappointment control you, weigh you down. Because the second you ask God and your parents for forgiveness, I promise you they will forgive you. Because the love you receive from God is unconditional, and the love that you receive from your family is unconditional. And they will love you through anything. The challenge is just taking the time to ask them and let them in. So whether you are a soldier, two-headed dog, a fuzzy-wuzzy bear,
or a panda, or a tiger slash leopard, God will love you. All right? I want you guys to carry that throughout your week. And we'll have a moment of prayer before... Okay, I guess I can gather these first. Now we'll get in our circle. It's a cat mixed with a dog. Cat dog. Oh, yeah? That's pretty cool. Let's get in our circle. Everybody grab a hand of somebody. Aubrey, you want to grab Brandon's hand? There we go. Gracious God, we come before you thankful for the kids in our life, for the youth that brings life into our ministry here. We ask that you guide them and protect them in school. You keep them safe. You help them to find the love and life and the joy of learning, and help them to remember that to be joyful people, because we have a gift to share, and these kids are gifts to our church. So let us go forth with that love in all we say and all we do and all we pray. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you all very much. Grab a snack before you go. Get some fruit snacks. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing God's love for us. So before we share our skit today, I thought it would be good if we as a community took a few minutes to talk about the emotion of disappointment. I think for me, as I wrote this skit this week, it was a much harder skit for me to write compared to fear, because disappointment is a real emotion that I struggle with. If you know most pastors, most clergy, we love to be people pleasers. We love to make people happy. We love to make people satisfied, and we live for that. We're like McDonald's. We live for your smile on that face when you come through the drive-thru. And it's hard to deal with disappointment because it makes us feel like we've really let people down. And I think we all wrestle with that emotion. So before we turn our attention to our skit, I want you to take a few minutes, 1 or 2 minutes, to talk to each other and tell about a time in your life where you've been disappointed. Either somebody's disappointed you or you've let somebody down. because it's that opportunity that reminds us that we've all struggled with that emotion, that all of us at one point or another in our life have let somebody down, and we've needed forgiveness. And so take a minute or two to talk amongst yourself about the emotion of disappointment. And then we'll turn it over to our skit.
I want to thank you all for taking some time to discuss the emotion of disappointment. It seems like a lot of you have had thoughtful conversations, and I would encourage you, we just so happen to have some fellowship time after worship today as we celebrate birthdays and anniversaries, so continue those conversations now. Now we're going to turn our hearts and minds to our skit for this week. Our skit is going to be The Curious Case of Moravian Part 2. And our title is, Why Are We So Afraid of Disappointing Others? Jacob has been nice enough to return as Mo this week. Sarah has been nice enough to be our countess and his guardian angel. His older cousin was nice enough to do this for him. And then Chloe, Paige, and Missy have all agreed to be Mo's friends, and I will continue to be our narrator. It'll be a great opportunity to see what we focused on this week is how we as Moravians kind of deal with the disappointment that we wrestle with of being kind of a smaller church, a church that people can kind of easily forget about. And Mo kind of wrestles with that emotion. So we'll begin our journey together today, and I will narrate. Last week we learned from Moavian's encounter with his guardian angel, Countess von Zinzendorf, that he need not live a fearful life. This week we will see how he learns to cope with disappointment in his life. Disappointment is such a difficult emotion for humans. We can deal with anger from another person, but disappointing someone important to us can be soul-crushing. Many of us remember the feeling as a young child of disappointing our parents and how unbearable it felt. No one wants to relive or experience disappointment ever again. Let us enter the world of Moadian today and see how God equips him to handle disappointment as he hangs out with his friends at school.
Hey everyone, I wanted to let you know that I had an awesome time at my church camp this past summer. We had over 100 kids at Tar Hollow and it was awesome. Sometimes I forget what a big church we have.
That's awesome, Mo. We had a regional conference of youth at my church at Progressive Field in Cleveland. It was pretty cool, too. Tim Tebow spoke and Carrie Underwood performed. 20,000 kids from my denomination were there. It was so sweet.
Did you say 20,000 people? I don't even think my denomination has 20,000 people.
What denomination do you belong to?
I'm a Moravian.
A Moravian? I've never heard of that. What are they?
Well, my pastor says we're a mission-minded church. That's one of the oldest Protestant denominations in the world. He says we aren't that different from Lutherans, Methodists, and Presbyterians. My mom says we're like Baptists and Catholics, but we could smile in church. My dad says we're like Methodists, but it's okay if he has a beer when watching football.
Hey, Mo and Alex, what are you talking about?
Mo is just telling us that he's a Moravian.
I believe it's pronounced Mormon. Does that mean you're going to have like 3 wives or something someday, Mo?
No, I'm a Moravian. We are a pretty normal church, but we're just a little smaller than most churches.
Sorry, I'm late. What's going on, everybody?
Mo was just telling us that he's a Moravian.
I never heard of that. What's a Moravian?
We're Jehovah's Witnesses with sugar cake. I promise to never knock on any of your doors if nobody asks me, what's a Moravian, again.
As the school bell rings, ending their day at school.
That's the bell. And I see my mom. Have a good day, everybody.
I think that's my wife trying to get me in the back there. Our story continues with Mo getting ready for his evening prayers. He is still very upset and saddened by his experience at school. He is still trying to understand why all his friends do not know what a Moravian is and what the purpose of his church is.
Dear Jesus, I love being a Moravian, but sometimes it's so exhausting always having to explain who we are. There are so many churches way bigger than us. I struggle to understand why you even created a Moravian church in the first place. Wouldn't it be easier if we just joined a much bigger church and you just forgot all about the Moravians? After all, there are times when I feel like we're just ants in the kingdom of God.
Jeez Louise, Moavian, didn't I just help you out last week? I might look different, but I did. You are turning into a real problem child.
Countess von Zinzendorf, what are you doing back here? I promise I'm not scared of the world anymore.
Yes, that's true, Mo. You seem to have conquered your fears. However, I listened to your prayer, and you seem to really have the blues about your church. What's wrong?
I just don't understand why God made a Moravian church. Why didn't he just make us part of a bigger denomination?
I think God would tell you that he has a divine purpose for our church, just like he does for all disciples of Christ.
Well, surely our church is not big enough to fulfill a purpose. Our entire church will never fill a baseball stadium like Alex's.
All you ever do is talk about numbers. Why are you so fixated on how many people we don't have?
How else can you judge if a church is living or dying? The numbers don't lie. We clearly are dying.
Actually,
Numbers are a terrible indicator of how a church is doing. God cares more about faithful ministries than attendance results.
Let me give you an example.
Pretend there's a church with 1 million people. They pull all their time, talent, and resources to do nothing else but build the most magnificent sanctuary in the entire world. There's another church with 6 people gathered in a house. After they gather for worship, they spend the afternoon in the community, working at the local food bank and praying with the people who walk in the doors. Which of the two churches is more faithful to God?
Well, I suppose the church with 6 people is.
It is important to remember Jesus' words in Matthew. For where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, there I am with them.
Well, it's a nice Bible verse and all. I guess I still struggle with how many Christians leave the church and never come back. Do you think God is disappointed with the job we're doing?
Mo, there was a time when the Christian church was the most powerful institution on the planet. We had more people and money than we could possibly imagine. Do you know what happened?
I feel like you're going to tell me.
You're right. The money and power poisoned the church. Our religious leaders stopped doing missions and started leading holy wars in the name of God. The money got spent on building really huge cathedrals and church, and the churches all forgot about the least of these who we are called to serve. The people lost sight of Jesus. That is why God cares very little about popularity and power. God just wants us to be faithful.
What can we as Moravians do to help?
I'm glad you asked. The Moravian Church has an important mission to carry out in the 21st century. For years, the Moravians have found a sense of identity and mission, despite being a smaller church. You have the gift of helping your brothers and sisters in Christ from other backgrounds to see that numbers are not everything. Being faithful to Christ's calling and being a community that carries Christ's love into the world is what's important. Let God worry about the results. The church should just worry about being faithful. Do you accept this important mission?
I do. What about me, Angel?
What do you mean?
Well, do you think God is disappointed with me? I've never done any of those things you talk about. I've never gone on a mission trip. Going to a food bank or homeless shelter gives me anxiety. I go to church, but I don't always walk the walk in the real world. Does God think I'm an imposter?
I don't think so. As servants of Christ, we get the opportunity to take millions of steps in sharing God's love. But none of those steps happen without something very important happening first.
What's that?
Asking God for help in taking that first step with us. The first step into a new calling is always the most difficult. The journey always gets easier after that.
I'm still so scared of disappointing God. What if I'm not a very good missionary?
God will only be disappointed if you quit on God or yourself. As long as you have a heartbeat, you have an opportunity to share God's love with the world.
I better get to work. Thanks, Countess.
You all did a fantastic job, and I hope this message really hits home for you. Because when you look in the 1400s, the church had all the money and all the power that they could think of. And the Moravian Church was something that was born out of a response to that, to remind us that we needed to get our hearts back to Jesus, to focus on the mission and the love and the grace. And we as Moravians truly do have a gift to share with Christians right now, that even though some numbers are shrinking across the board, that does not make us a less faithful people. That does not make us a less meaningful people. That just means we have more opportunities to work together, to collaborate and to share God's love. And as far as individual disappointment, the disappointment we feel from God, God never quits on us. God won't ask you to be Pope Francis, Martin Luther King Jr., or any other big religious figure. All God is going to ask you to be you, to do what you're capable of in your time, in your place, in your moment. And if you do that, God will truly be happy and satisfied with the mission you've carried. And remember that we as Moravians, to our core, we are mission-minded. Whether it's in our local community or whether it's in our global church, we take the opportunity to serve our world very seriously. And that is a huge part of our identity. So at this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing Take Up the Cross, the Savior Sent. Please don't forget to join us in Fellowship Hall as we celebrate birthday and anniversary Sunday together with some cake and some coffee and some time of wonderful Christian fellowship. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.